guitar people, welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with guitarist Jared James Nichols for the second time. The first time was in 2019 for episode 8. In our conversation, Jared talks about moving to Nashville and being a father and his new single on Frontiers Record called Ghost. Jared tells us about his Nashville lifestyle and his tour schedule, including his upcoming tour of Europe, and he talks about his band. He also discusses how he ended up supporting Michael Schenker and Joe Perry. Jared describes his new Gibson Futura guitar with a crazy, almost explorer-style body, and Jared tells us about his guitar and gear collection and his relationship with Gibson. Jared discusses why he joined teams with Frontiers Records and why he didn't start his own independent label. Jared talks about his workout schedule and how he got started with exercise, and Jared tells us about jamming around town in Nashville and songwriting sessions he's involved in. Jared tells us about where he goes for repairs, himself, Gibson, Matt Knowles, and the Blackstar people for amps. Finally, Jared tells us about his love of cars, wrenching on cars, and his Chevy Nova, and the elusive Buckethead. To find out more about Jared, you can go to his website, jaredjamesnichols.com. That's jaredjamesnichols.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. And on a personal note, if you're in the Napa area or the San Francisco Bay Area, my band, The Deadlies, will be playing at the Blue Note Napa on Halloween at 8 p.m. That's on Main Street in Napa, California. Thanks, guys. Here's my buddy, Jared.
Oh, boy.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good. Should I call you JJN, or should I call you Jared, or should I call you Jared James?
Jared.
Okay. You look like you're in your woodshed, too.
I am. You are, too.
Yeah.
We're in the woodsheds, dude.
Yeah. How's it going, Jared?
Everything's good, brother. How have you been, man?
I've been good. I've been real good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the latest and greatest? Anything cool?
Like latest and greatest. There's this new single came out by this guy. It's called Ghost.
Oh, it sucks.
No, it does not suck. Come on.
Dude, it's great to talk to you, brother.
Likewise. Are you in Nashville?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville.
Yeah.
Did you know I had a kid? So like,
I remember your wife was pregnant at NAMM last time I saw you at NAMM.
Exactly. I'm in the woodshed because, otherwise, we might have a crying baby, if you know what I'm saying.
I understand 100%. I have been through those years.
Oh, yeah.
So whereabouts in Nashville are you located?
I'm in North, so I'm like Goodlettsville.
Okay.
So you're familiar. So, you know, not even 10 miles from downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
But just far enough out where it's not too crazy.
Yeah,
it's pretty
exactly.
Chill.
10 miles is about how far you have to get away from Lower Broadway.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Do you go to Carter's and Groon's often or not so much?
I used to more, man, because, you know, I when I'm on the road and stuff, it's like I try and hit guitar shops. And when I'm home, I do, but not as much as you'd think, man.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy. But I am going to Carter's on Sunday for a podcast.
Oh, cool.
They got a new podcast.
Oh,
so that's
really?
Come okay. On it.
Everybody has a podcast.
It's dangerous. Every time I go, brother, it's dangerous because you're just looking around. Well, and you're like, uh-oh, what should I flip or what could I do to get that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And are you mostly looking at guitars or are you looking at amps? I mean, yeah, I know you have the deal with Blackstar, but do you look at amps?
I look at old amps, like cool stuff. I recently got a Gibson, a Hawk.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to write home about as far as like rarity or anything, but man, does that thing sound cool.
Sure.
If I see anything really cool and kind of funky, I'll look at it, but usually, like most of us, I feel like it's all about the guitars, yeah. Especially with the old stuff. I look for the stuff that's been played. I look for the stuff that's been beat up.
Oh, yeah.
Modded. You know, for some reason,
I've
just like
a tornado.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the attractor of like, if it's been modded, it's better for me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, it's certainly more affordable.
Bingo.
So the Futura, who built that for you?
Oh, dude, so that's a Gibson.
Oh, it is?
Gibson.
Okay.
Yeah, so that guitar, I got one from a friend, Chris Blakely, who had a replica.
Because okay.
I just wanted to try it. I wanted to feel what it felt like, the actual size of it. I ended up digging it a lot because it's like when you're playing it, it kind of sits different. So I went to Gibson. I was with Cesar, and I was like, dude, can you make me one? And he was like, man, we were talking about releasing those, you know, he said, but there was something with how much Carina they had. Uh-huh. And a friend of mine sent me a picture of a body blank that was never completed at the custom shop.
Oh, wow.
It was a body and a neck blank. Uh-huh. And so I went to a friend and I was like, hey, what's up with this guitar? Like, can I, you know, after a lot of negotiating and a lot of different stuff, I ended up having them complete that guitar for me, which was, dude, it's killer. So it's almost like, you know, between the replica and that, like the Gibson, it has that Gibson ping to it. Uh-huh. And it feels like an Explorer, but it's almost like more tactile.
Okay.
Big, thick neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's straight from the custom shop. When I was there chatting with the guys, you know, one of the guys was like, yeah, man, I'm the guy who cut the wood.
Wow.
You know, I sanded it. So it was like they just finished it.
Yeah. Right on. So cool. And do you, like in your collection, do you have Explorers as well?
I have a Explorer and I have a Flying V. So my Explorer is one of the it's just like the V I have. They're the mahogany version. Sure. Of the natural colored.
Yep, yep.
Black pick guards.
Yep.
I have that as well as the Flying V, and they're killer. It's a heavy guitar.
Yeah.
It's heavy. And the Flying V I have too is pretty heavy. That's the biggest difference I've been noticing since I've been playing the Carina. Uh-huh. Man, that feature weighs like, I think it's like 6.3 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like really light. Like really light, which is cool.
Yeah, of course, of course. And so what's your relationship like with Gibson now?
Oh, it's great, man. It's great. I mean, with Gibson, you know, they've always been so supportive. They were supportive of me when they didn't even have to be. Yeah. Like they always took care of me, like in the early days. And, you know, we've been talking about the potential for some new models to be released, you know, under my name and things like that.
Sure, sure.
But I've always had such a great support from them, and it continues to be like unwavering, which is great. You know, I'm getting ready. I got to go to Europe here. Yeah. In a little less than 3 weeks, and Gibson has been instrumental in, you know, getting loaner guitars.
Oh, wow.
Getting me different stuff for the tour. Now, you know, of course, I'm going to bring Dorothy on tour, and I'm going to bring this Figura.
Okay.
But as far as getting, you know, one of my signatures over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's awesome, dude, that I have the relationship I do, because sometimes I feel like I'm like, man, they go above and beyond for me, which is, I just feel really grateful and honestly really lucky.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course. Of course. And imagine if that help wasn't there, what you'd have to go through.
Oh, my goodness. I think, honestly, man, I think about that every day and I go, I'm so lucky, because it's like one of those things that's even with Blackstar.
Yep.
And Duncan.
Yep.
And even like DR Strings, these companies have hooked me up, man. Uh-huh. And it's like they do it because I can tell that they're passionate. And then the people will come to shows. Uh-huh. They'll say, oh, man, we're doing this. We're doing this. And it's just really it's a beautiful thing to be taken care of in such a way, because, like you said, if I didn't have that, I would be in a lot of ways a hurting unit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when you go to Europe, are you going to take Amanda with you? And your child?
No, not this round, man. A friend of mine, Tyler Bryant and Larkin Poe.
Of course.
They just went to Europe. Uh-huh. And they brought their baby.
Yeah.
But I will say, for the way that we tour, so when we go to Europe, we're in a Sprinter and a trailer. We get hotel rooms every night. The amount of travel is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, as cool as that could be, I could see it going really, really, really bad. And especially, as you know, man, it's just travel in general. It's like when you're traveling and then to put a little kid in the mix, like a baby, it's
and
like
you being the dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me on the road too, it's like between the logistics, of course, the travel. And thankfully, you know, it's like, you know, I obviously I don't have to drive, or we have people to do all that stuff. But with going to do a sound check, doing a meet and greet, doing the gig, and all of the things, it's like you get pretty wiped out pretty quick.
Sure.
And I would love to, though, as the little man gets a little older.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. And so do you have a European band as well, or are you using the same guys here?
No, I use the same guys, which is actually really cool. You know, I had the opportunity to do that with, like, the European band kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that I don't like that idea or any slight on anyone there in Europe that I've played with, but it's really cool to form relationships.
Oh,
like
yeah.
with the guys, as you know, with the guys yeah. I have now, they want to travel. They're hungry. And also they played on all the music, you know, that I'm recording.
Yeah.
And it just feels good to be like just locked in,
yep.
which is awesome.
Yeah. How did the relationship with Frontier start?
Oh goodness. So that actually, dude, they came to the table for me about 5 years ago before okay. I did my last record.
Wow.
And before I got into that, and they were really cool, but like, it just didn't make sense at the time. I already had something else kind of going on with a different producer.
Okay.
And what ended up happening, it was like a perfect storm. There was a few people that were working at Frontiers now. When they reached out, you know, we had some amazing conversations.
Okay.
And what I think the hardest thing to do, you know, for anyone that's trying to actually do something is finding partnerships. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, but I need someone to help me, or I need this, or I need that. And the best part about Frontiers is when we had this last conversation, the transparency,
uh-huh.
and they said, look it, we want you uh-huh. on our label. We want to feature you, and we want you to be one of the flagship artists for this label. And when you hear that, you go, okay, that's cool. But then they show me the plan
yeah.
and they show me how they want to do that. And everything was just really straight up. There wasn't any sort of like, oh no, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't no real red flags.
Yeah.
And I feel yet again, like I've had a bunch of meetings with them. You know, I was on this last tour with Michael Schenker
uh-huh.
and I remember the first night that I met the president of the label, Jeff. He lives in Boston. We were playing up in New Hampshire. And listen to this. We were playing a show and the PA went out. Now, this is during sound check.
Yeah.
And they had to ruffle in a whole new PA, a whole new board and all this stuff.
Wow.
We didn't even get a sound check. It was like one of those nights where you're like, oh, man, we just got to make it through the gig.
Sure.
And then I get a call. Hey, Jeff from Frontiers is coming. He can't wait to see the set. And I'm like, of course. Of all nights, it's tonight. So he ended up coming. It turned out fantastic. But it's just really awesome to work with people that are excited. They're just excited on every level.
Yep.
So that makes me happy, man.
Yep. And not to belittle that, but any thought to like starting your own label? I mean, you're friends with,
oh, you
with
know,
Joe.
Of course. Well, the thing is, like, I was just with Joe the other day, and he's got so many great ideas, and he has so many great stories and achievements of, I did it my way,
yeah,
and that's what I was going to do. And it's so inspiring and, like, empowering to hear him talk like that.
Sure.
I feel like what Joe did, though, was so... It was just so, it's so insane in a way of it worked. It almost feels a little bit like, because we both know how many incredible players there are.
Oh, yeah.
And with Joe, it was like they put all their chips on the table and the roulette number hit. And it just, it worked. Not, and that's not to take away from any sort of hard work or talent. We
oh,
both
no,
know.
That's given.
That's the given.
Yeah.
But the fact that, holy crap, it worked.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is, you know, timing and patience and work, and it's just this perfect storm builds. I've thought about that in the past, and I've thought about, you know, releasing music because I have a lot of friends that do that, excluding Joe. Uh-huh. And at this moment where I'm at with this record, you know, and having it all done,
yeah.
it's like I wanted to give it a really good chance with a team and people that I feel like are just more experienced than I am in a sure. lot of ways. Sure. And to say someday maybe it'll happen, you never know. But right now, I feel like, you know, some of these people I'm working with, it's like they know their shit. You know what I mean? So
oh, yeah.
I kind of want to follow that trail, see where it goes.
Yeah. Just look at their roster, like the roster of artists they have there.
It's insane. They have so many, like, old school, they got new. It's just
everything,
like,
yeah, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. It's great. So, what's your guitar collection look like right now?
Oh, buddy, you know what's funny? I was like, it's not that it's downsizing whatsoever, but I've been really in this minimalist kind of attitude lately. So I have my old red guitar, my 53 red top.
Yep.
I have Dorothy, of course.
Sure.
I have another 52 that Man, I think it's on permanent loan from Joe and Charlie, my friend Charlie Daughtry at the Les Paul Forum.
Okay.
It's that old school trapeze. I have that. So I have like three classic early 50s Les Pauls in the stable. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is you know, it's kind of all around the board. I got a Gibson hooked me up with a really, really beautiful Eric Clapton prototype for the Firebird 1.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Which is, so it's the artist proof. It's gorgeous, man. What a different kind of animal those Firebird ones are.
Uh-huh.
And they're so cool. So I have that, which is really great. Of course, the Futura. That's what I've been rocking a lot lately.
Yeah.
And then I have a bunch of my signatures. You know, I have a bunch of weird odds and ends stuff. I have like an SG Junior. I have a triple pickup Firebird.
Oh, right.
You know, just a bunch of stuff. I'm just kind of more of a minimalist. I have what I have. I haven't really sought out guitars. I feel like these damn guitars, if anything, they're coming at me. You know what I mean?
Do you go to the Gibson garage and say, hey, that one up there, I'd like to try that one for a while?
I have. Well, hey, I just filmed a music video. I was in LA, right? And I was like, hey, maybe I could borrow a V for the music video. Uh-huh. And lo and behold, they're like, well, we don't really have many Vs, but we do have this one. And it was a Jimi Hendrix. It was from about
5 years ago. Yeah.
The one with the Vibrola, the Isle of Wight one. And I took that and I just said, hey, can I borrow this for a while? And they were like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Okay. Now something completely aside, what is your workout strategy?
Oh my gosh. Well, dude, here's the thing. The workout strategy is to just not lose my mind when I'm on tour.
Uh-huh.
The thing that I noticed was I got really into it during COVID because I was like, you know, I'm sitting around, I'm spinning my tires. I don't know what the heck to do.
Yeah.
And as you know, there's only so many hours of the day I could play guitar before I'm going, oh my goodness, I need something else, some other kind of way, this relief.
Yeah.
So I work out every morning. It's great. I have my whole garage set up for it. Okay. And when I'm on the road, it's cool because in America, you know, a lot of times when I used to be on the road, it would be wake up, hit the Waffle House or whatever, and then get some fast food on the way to the gig, play the gig, drink, wake up, feel like crap, and do it all over again.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm kind of on a different regimen where it's like, you know, I wake up and I find like a Planet Fitness or whatever. So yeah. I try and do something every day. And what I've noticed, man, is it just makes me feel better on stage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, all of that. It's just like, it just made me feel better where instead of relying on like, oh, man, I had a crappy night or oh, I feel like crap, it was like, I just got more into that stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm really digging it. And it's cool because now my bandmates too, they're rolling with me, and they're like, "What time we go into the gym in the morning?" I was like, "Oh, there's a Planet Fitness 8 minutes away. We're going there at 10 a.m." So it's kind of the anti rock and roll.
Not anymore. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you still drink?
I'll drink. Sure. Yeah. I'll definitely drink. I've you know, I used to drink like a lot of beer. Uh-huh. And I was like into beer. Now it's more like I'll drink like some whiskey, a little bit of that. But it, on the road, man, I'm such a, it's not even being a lightweight. I'm just so light on it.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a drink or two, that's about it for me. Cause it's like, I always feel like, and it's not even just being on the road, but it's even being at home. I'm always, it's like you're, you know, this, it's like, I feel like I turned into an adult. My schedule, there's always something else I got to be doing.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like, I don't have the time to be like, oh, I'm just going to lay around and, you know, nurse a hangover. So it's like, if I'm drinking, it's like, I drink in moderation, man.
Sure.
I got to.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are you going
to
do for Halloween?
I don't know what I'm going to do for Halloween. you know what? Actually, my friend, he owns a gym in Nashville.
Okay.
He has a huge Halloween party jam.
Oh, right.
I mean,
on.
He's friends with like Warren Haynes and like all these people, but he's got a killer guitar collection and he throws like a big party with music and all that stuff. I'll probably do that.
Okay.
The one thing is the next morning I'm flying to Europe.
Okay.
So I won't be turning it up too much, brother.
When you're in Nashville, like, I mean, do you ever get tempted to just go down, you know, to wherever, the fucking McDonald's and busk for you know, a couple hours,
just, you know,
acoustic?
I've never done that, but I have been really tempted because I have a lot of friends that play, like, whether it's, like, on Broadway or they're, like, they're at a club, you know, Underdog, or there's a bunch of different places that people play. And, man, I'll sit here and I'll be like, I'll get that itch where I'm like, I want to go play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's been times like a friend of mine will be like, yo, dude, we're jamming at Eastside Bowl. And
yes, it's like, exactly.
Playing? And then I say, I'll come watch. Next thing you know, I'm like, I'm going to go play.
Yeah.
So I think that's just like a part of us, brother. Like, I don't know. Whether it's me being on stage on tour or jamming with somebody, it's like it all feels like at home. And there's something about it. You know this. It's like there's this like ultimate like energy that happens that you can't get in any other way.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I'm home, it's like I need that little dopamine hit. Sure. You know what I mean? Sure. It's great.
Do you do songwriting sessions and stuff? Like, you know?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I've got, you know, when I first moved to Nashville, I'd never done that. Uh-huh. I don't get me wrong. I'd sat with people and written songs,
yeah, of course,
but not in a way like they do it here.
Yeah.
I got really heavy into that, like at the tail end of COVID. And then going into like the first, I'd say the past 2 years, it's been like, if I wasn't on the road, I was doing 2-3 writing sessions a week.
Wow.
I got in with some really good people that like, uh-huh, man, I got friends that, and it's not even like a flex, but I got friends that have written like these huge country songs. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to their place for like a party and I go, wow, man, like you got a really nice house. And I'll say it and I'll be like, yeah, you know, the so-and-so song really paid for last year or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? It's a different thing. And these guys, they're such master musicians and master songwriters that it's inspiring because it's made me think a lot differently about writing songs.
Oh yeah.
And I'll be the first to say it, for years, like most of us, a song was kind of a vehicle to channel energy and play guitar.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Give me a great riff and let me rip.
Yeah.
But over the past few years, I've figured out that there's a lot of expression that I did not really know in the songwriting. Of course, I've always loved songs, but when you're actually writing the songs, there's so much like that you can get out of that.
Oh, and yeah.
I've been feeling that a lot more since I moved to Nashville, really.
Sure, sure. Because it is a songwriting town. Like, I mean.
Oh, so heavy. I remember somebody said to me, bro, they were like, hey, man, no one cares how good you are at guitar.
Yeah.
You got to be able to sing and play a song. And I said, you know what? You are right, man. You are absolutely right.
You can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Are there, I mean, you mentioned Tyler Bryan. Are there other contemporaries that you're, you know, hang out with there in Nashville?
Definitely. There's a lot. Well, there's a lot of guys that I hang out with that are, you know, just amazing songwriters, producers, a few friends of mine, a guy named Skip Black and Roger Nichols. They're a little bit on the, they've been here a lot longer, but I mean, Tyler Bryant,
yep.
I'll hang out with a guy, Tuck Smith, who's another young
yeah,
whippersnapper. there's a lot of people around that are just great at what they do. I'm trying to think of like other contemporary kind of guitar people that kind of do it. I don't know.
Like
there's
Daniel
a lot
Donato
of people
or
that
anybody like that.
Oh yeah, Daniel Donato for sure. You know, I'll always see Guthrie Trapp rolling around, Tom Bukovac, all those kind of guys for sure, for sure. Those guys, sorry, I didn't think of them. They're like the given. But there is like a whole other culture here that's like these absolute masters that are just holed away somewhere on a computer making, you know what I mean? So it's just like there's so many different levels here of it, which is really insane.
Yeah, exactly. When you have repairs done to your guitars, where do you take them? Right there?
I should say this, though. If I got something major that's happened, uh-huh, you know, like I will either – I've done a few different things. Dude, I had this problem with a pickup. I have a pickup that was given to me by Seymour Duncan that was supposedly, what I was told, one of Eddie Van Halen's pickups.
Oh, wow.
But it's totally broken.
Oh, no.
I couldn't live with the fact that it was broken.
Sure, sure.
So I kept putting it in guitars. And then the one thing, I went so far down a rabbit hole on a Les Paul that it had to be like completely rewired and I could not get it right.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, like a grounding issue. And I was like, I was ready to throw the guitar against the wall. I took it to Gibson. I am such a funny person that literally I'll go to Gibson. They have some people that are amazing at the custom shop, and I'll say, hey, can you rewire my guitar?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, they'll go, give it. And then they'll call me the next day, come pick up your guitar. So if I got to do something crazy, I'll just take it over to Gibson. Okay. There's another tech in town. He's under the radar, but I'm going to give him a shout out because he's fantastic. His name's Matt Knowles.
Okay.
Just works out of his basement. But dude, this guy is a genius when it comes to putting in frets. And in his basement, I mean, he is a supreme woodworker. So he did a fret job for me on a guitar, uh-huh, on an old one, a 50s that was so rough, that fretboard, but he was able to save all of the divots. He didn't plane any. I said, yeah, dude, I want this to look and I want it to feel exactly like it does with new frets.
Yeah, yeah.
And Matt Knowles, amazing. It's crazy around here how many guys there are, though, that are just stellar.
Yeah.
Now, amplifiers, no, I don't touch them. I take them to my friends at British Audio in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, they do a bang-up job, too.
Right on. Are you all the Black Stars you have, are they all hand-wired?
You know, no, actually. You know, some of them are. I have these, like that first model they've made for me, it's basically based on an HT20, the JJN20.
Yep.
Those ones aren't. And, dude, I use those amps all the time.
Yeah.
I have some crazy hand-wired Black Stars that have never come out. one especially being made for Jeff Beck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that amplifier is probably now, it's 100 watt. It's probably 11, 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
Talk about a smoke show, mean 100 watt.
Yeah.
You know, it's a high gain Black Star 100 watt head. That's all it says on it.
Yeah.
But I don't think Jeff ever got it or it was made for him. I don't know the exact story. I'll have to figure that out. But sure. I have a few that are here that are stupid.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And how loud is it on stage for you when you're playing?
Oh, God. So the one thing now is all of these Black Stars, the one good thing about them, and I have some Marshalls and Mesas and stuff like that, almost everything I use on stage, I got to have a master volume, you know, because some of this stuff, as you know, and everyone knows, it's like the louder it gets, the more it talks to the guitar and there's energy. So I'll find myself, man, I'll go on stage and I'll go, you know, just hit the strings with a little scrape. And the sound guy will look at me like,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit. So I basically run everything on masters. One of the things I've been doing lately, which is kind of a little bit of a, it's not a trick, but I've been running like a Tube Screamer or my Klon, and I'm kind of using that as an attenuator.
Okay.
The volume on it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's cool to open up the amp a little bit, have that thing pushing so hard. And then if I need to duck back on the volume, I'll take it and I'll cut it off on the pedal a little bit.
Yeah, I understand. What's your pedal chain look like?
So simple, man. It's so simple. So I would use a, like a Tube Screamer, some sort of Klon copy,
uh-huh,
an Octavia pedal, like a Tycho Brahe or Chicago Iron.
Uh-huh.
I would do a wah-wah and maybe a fuzz face.
Uh-huh.
Lately, what I've been doing is it's almost as if I'm adding by subtracting. It's like on my last tour with Shanker,
uh-huh,
I did like the Stevie Ray Vaughan thing. I had two Tube Screamers. I had one on all the time,
uh-huh,
which was set as almost a clean boost. And you know, I play with my fingers. So
yeah.
One of the things I notice listening back and kind of just like analyzing what I've done in a lot of ways is the one thing is since I don't have that pick, that attack, that hyper attack. So if I'll hit the front end of the amp with a Tube Screamer right away,
uh-huh,
I can kind of shape that a little bit, especially on a dark British sounding amp.
Yep.
Then I'll just use another Tube Screamer or the Klon as a boost. I have a simple Lele ABY box.
Yep.
Yeah. So I can run two amps.
Yep.
And I just do that. I set the amps, one that's going to be a little bit more shimmery and clean with a little reverb.
Okay.
And then the other one, I have it full, like just disgustingly distorted. And I kind of balance those together.
Uh-huh.
And that's really where my heart lies. That's all I've been using. And the best part about it is, knock on wood, I haven't had any big hiccups. And I remember when I would have my board with, you know, the Octavia or the Fuzz Face, I would have a grounding issue or it would just be nasty power and stuff. And with this, it just kind of simplified it to the point where it was like, it's just simple. So, I'm so basic. I'm doing a gig this week with Paul Gilbert.
All right.
We were talking. Yeah, I'm going to Montana in a few days. And I was talking to Paul and we're talking about pedals and stuff. And he had a big board. And I just said to him, I was like, last time I was jamming with him, I was like, man, you got a ton of shit on here. And he looks at me and he goes, He goes, well, my songs require a lot of different sounds, you know? And I went, okay, I get it, man. I get it, you know? But I'm just really self-sufficient with rolling it up clean with the volume knob, using, you know, my fingers and hitting it with a tube screamer.
Yep. So, I mean, I know you play with your fingers. Do you have picks just so you can throw them out to the audience?
We've done that in the past. Yeah, we've done that because people were hitting me so hard. And the best part is, man, is when people will hit me and they'll go, dude, I'm such a big fan. And they'll be like, Jim, can I have one of your picks? And then I'd be like, yeah, sure, man, I got a pick. And then down the road or something, they would write something on Facebook or whatever and be like, yeah, Jared gave me this pick, you know, but then he doesn't use them. Like, what? Yeah, you know, they're all confused. But yeah, dude, I've given out picks in the past and we have some with, you know, the logo on it. Uh-huh. I think it's funny. The one thing I was going to do, I was going to steal the Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith idea where you make a pick that looks like a thumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start just giving those out. So funny.
What's your right hand look like as far as nails?
No nails, dude. No, I don't use them.
All right.
Yeah. So everything's real. I got to keep everything short.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
They used to be a lot nastier than they were, but I've literally trained myself because I used to always cheat and use a little bit of nail.
Uh huh.
And like it was like kind of like, oh, I got to do that.
I don't think that's cheating.
And then I would say about, yeah, well, you know, like trying to get a little more.
Yeah.
And I told myself like 2 years ago, I was like, dude, you're, fingers are smashed and slashed. So now I am full on with the flesh and it couldn't be better, man. It's like there's calluses underneath. You can feel them.
Yeah.
It's almost like someone that just like works construction. It's like there's a callus deep under there, but it's pretty good. I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't had any finger problems in a long time.
Good. Good. Glad to hear that. And any plans to do like a tour, like a US tour? I'm sure there are plans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. So like I said, we're going to go to Europe here in November through December. Well, Montana. Yeah. And then in a few weeks to Europe.
Yep.
And we go there until the middle of December.
Yeah.
We're going to ramp up. I just found out we're going to be doing the whole NAMM thing. We're going to do a tour around kicking off mid-January. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll see you there, brother.
Maybe.
Maybe you're gonna go probably, right? Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, so yeah, we're gonna be kicking off. I have a ton of new music that's gonna be released.
Oh, and cool. Then, of course, record, because there's a whole brand new album
come out next. Yeah, and we're gonna start releasing the singles, and from what it sounds like at the end of May the record will come out. So
okay,
we're gonna be rolling it, man.
Oh, cool. And so you're gonna go to NAMM. Are you gonna come up north too or no?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I haven't done a North run in a minute, dude. It's been a while. Even this last tour I did with Shanker, we didn't even go west, you know, as far as we kind of cut it in the Midwest. So I think the big goals are to go up north, kind of zip around and go down south again and do Texas and go and do all that whole thing. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Is there a place where where the fans are more ravenous for you?
I mean, yeah, it's different everywhere. Like if you talk about Europe, it's all over the place. It's it's a total different vibe, the way that they react to this kind of music.
Sure, 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 sure.
You know, you'll be in Paris, France, and you would think that like it was like people are clawing, you know, or Spain or, you know, in Germany places, it's cool. The one in the States, I always, always, always feel like we do have great California shows, but of course, when you go into the craziest place in America is Florida.
Oh, wow.
For sure.
Yeah.
Florida, they go every time they go nuts. I was just down there with Joe Perry and we did some of our own shows.
Oh, right on.
Florida goes nuts, man.
Yeah.
Texas is great. Oklahoma is great. Midwest is super fun. Chicago gets rowdy.
Yeah.
We were just in, you know, I feel like there's not even more so specific areas of the country. It's just little pockets. It's like when we did New York City, it was great. When we did New Jersey, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like just the difference in just moving it over a little bit, you know?
Sure, sure, sure. And so do you have a manager? Are you self-managed?
No, I have management. Yeah, I have a manager and I have a booking agent and all that stuff. Thankfully, because, bro, the amount of stuff that we're doing now, I feel like I'm working overtime.
Exactly.
It's like, if I didn't, I would be a hurting unit for sure on that end.
Yeah. And did the agent get you those Joe Perry gigs or did you, or the Shanker gigs or did you
actually
have something?
For the Joe Perry gigs, due to the relationship I have with Joe and his family and that whole Aerosmith thing, I was able to secure those gigs. And that was awesome. And the way I got on the Shanker tour was actually pretty funny. I was booked earlier in the year on the Monsters of Rock cruise. That was in middle of March. You'll love this. So I'm playing on the Monsters of Rock cruise, right? We're jamming. We're playing in like the atrium or whatever it's called. And I'm looking out at the crowd. And of course, there's a bunch of people there that are just fans of music and rock and all that stuff. And then I go, there's George Lynch. There's Joel Hoekstra. There's Tracy Guns. Who else was there? There's the dudes from Taiketo. There's the guys. Who else? There was other. Oh, there's Paul Gilbert's right there. There's Brad Gillis. All these guitar players were at the show watching me, and I was like, damn. And then I look up on the top, and there's a little, there's a guy like this up on the top, and he's looking down at me. And I went, I think that's Michael Shanker. I didn't know, but I was like, I think that is. So I'm like jamming, I'm doing my thing. And after the show, getting ready to you know, I'm packing my guitar down and stuff, because it's like you use all the backline and stuff, so packing my guitar down. And all of a sudden, Michael Shanker walks up. He's like, you're fucking great, man. You're great. And I was like, thank you, dude. And then he goes, I'm going on tour soon, and I'd love to have you.
Right on.
I get off the boat, man. Within 3 days, we have an offer for that tour.
That's so fantastic. It was like,
I have a feeling my agent had that all ready to roll, but then it just took us, you know, playing that show and meeting him and doing that, seeing it.
Right on. That's fantastic.
It's cool how that happens sometimes, you know?
Exactly. So, I won't take much more of your time. But
oh, you're good, brother.
When you go to Europe, you're going to bring Dorothy and the Futura. What are they? What are the cases? Like, how are you going to get them there?
Oh, geez. Well, here's the thing. With Les Pauls, I have Colton cases.
Yeah.
The ones, you know, those from
Austin,
Texas.
Yes, I know exactly.
You know them.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite cases on the planet. I will take my Les Pauls anywhere in those cases.
Okay. Do you check them, or do you take them, try to get them on board?
I always try and get them on. Mostly what ends up happening, though, is a gate check situation.
Yeah, yep.
You know, 9 times out of 10, especially when it's going to Europe.
Yeah.
I've had amazing luck sometimes where they go, hey, man, you're great. Just bring it on with you. Does it fit up there?
Yeah,
it fits great. Have a great flight. And I'm just like this, you know. And then other times I walk up to get my, you know, at literally going to get our tickets, and they go, guitar.
Yeah.
It's going down now.
Yeah.
And I go, but, and they're like, nope, guitar's going down. Then I have to check it.
Yeah.
So I always put air tags in my cases.
Oh, good.
Not that that means they're not going to get broken, but it's just helps.
You know where they end up. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'll be on my phone and I'll be like, I just arrived in Germany. Is my guitar here? Okay. The guitars are here. But with the Futura, it's going to be a little bit more funny. Now maybe what's even more rare than the Futura is they made me a lift-in case for it.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not going to tour with that case because, as you know, it would be like touring with a lift-in.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It'll be destroyed.
It'll be destroyed, and potentially the guitar will get destroyed with it.
Yes, exactly.
So I've modded a Gibson Explorer protector case.
Okay.
And I almost had to like take a little bit out so the neck pocket would sit right.
Sure.
But it sits in there pretty good. And my plan is I'm gonna have to check that though, because there's no way, dude. That case. It's even I was with Bonamassa the other day. He's like, Jared, that fucking case, man. He's like, does that even fit in your car? You know, it's like a big old casket style case. So that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hold Dorothy. And I'm going to walk that. If I got a gate check or whatever, that's fine. You know, I've done it a million times. It's kind of the, you know, and a lot of people will say, you're crazy. But it's the price you pay to do this kind of stuff. It's like either you bring your guitars or you just sit at home forever.
Yeah.
So in the future, I'm just going to go like this. And worst case scenario, and I don't even want to think this way, if something were to happen, I got a lot of friends in Spain. I will have that thing fixed.
Oh, right.
And
on.
I will have that thing put together. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. And so all this music stuff, you're working overtime and everything. Is there anything you do apart from exercise to like get away from it?
Yeah, I got my car.
Oh, what's your car?
It's right here. I'll show you. Let me flip it. How do I flip that? Hold on. Let me flip it. There it is. Can you see that?
Barely, because the window in the back. Oh, is it a Chevelle maybe?
Nova.
Oh, a Nova.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you got the glare going. Yeah, so for me, man, the other thing, you know, before I even got on the music train, I wanted to do car stuff. Uh-huh. I just love car stuff. So, you know, I have this Nova. I have an old Suburban that I just drive. But I've always loved wrenching on cars.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking the engine apart or anything, but it's my daily driver is this Nova, so I keep it up, man. Like when I got off the Schenker tour, you know, I needed a break. I needed something different.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing, you know, just a full tune-up, plugs, distributor, wires, cap, you know, oil change, all that stuff. And my wife, she laughs at me. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, it's therapeutic.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. And I love tuning up on old cars because it's kind of like guitars in a way to me.
Yep.
It's like they once you get the vibrations right, mm-hmm. and it's the same with the, you know, the timing on a car and the fine tuning of a guitar. It's just like, once you get it right, it's just perfect. And that's probably my only other pastime really is working out, doing my music and messing with cars.
Sure. Sure. Have you run into Bukovac?
Yeah. I mean, I was supposed to go to his show. Greg Koch was here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was going to jam with them, but Tom's like a Nashville legend, dude. I mean, what a chill guy.
I do, but you're both Carter guys. That's the only reason I
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I haven't even talked to him about cars. You know what? Next time I see him, I'm totally going to bring it up, though.
And then, finally, yeah. Brian Carroll. Are you familiar with Brian Carroll?
Buckethead?
Yeah.
I love Buckethead.
Do you know him?
No.
No.
Do you?
No, I don't know Brian.
Well, I've met him. Oh, I've met him.
Uh-huh. Was he in the Buckethead character when you met him?
Yeah, so he was with, this was years ago, dude. It was one of my first ever NAMs. He was at NAM with Bootsy Collins.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
They were walking around, and dude, no one was bothering them. And I was like, I'm staring, and I'm like, and I walk up, and Buckethead has a guy with him, like, just hanging out, and I was like, hey, I got to find this picture, man. I know it exists somewhere, but I was like, can I get a picture with Buckethead?
Yeah, of course.
And the dude goes, yeah, that's fine. And then I went like, hi, nice to meet you. And he did this thing with his hands where he was like this, you know? And I was like, and he was huge.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, but the picture, I'm just like, but yeah, I honestly, I'm a huge Buckethead fan. I still
How could
listen,
you not be?
When I found Buckethead in like 2006.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the Monsters and Robots record,
yeah.
Electric Tears, and Coma. And then after that, it was like the Cuckoo Clocks from Hell, some of these Giant Robot, Welcome to Buckethead Land. Like, I love that stuff, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And I actually quote him a lot in certain things I do. And I've never really even given him credit because it's just like, not because I'm a hater, but I don't, you know, I think a lot of people know Buckethead, but yeah, I'm a true fan, man.
Oh, yeah, right on. Yeah, there aren't many true fans that know the names of the albums and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, dude, I love it, man.
Yeah.
I actually went to go see him when I was a kid, Colonel Claypool's Bucket of Bernie Brains with
yep.
Bernie Worrell and Les and Brain.
Yep.
Praxis. So much cool shit, dude. I would love to really meet Buckethead. You know, it probably you'd have to sign an NDA though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know. But hell yeah.
Right on. Do you ever do like, what about instruction? Do you teach lessons or? I mean, you're probably
I've done,
too.
Dude, yeah. I mean, I haven't done like in person lessons in a really long time. But what I have done is like I did a whole course, a lot of online stuff. I did a whole course for Artistworks,
okay,
which is out of Northern California.
Yep, yep.
I did that. That was like during COVID. I did that. I did some stuff for True Fire.
Yep.
Another friend of mine, YouTuber Marty Schwartz.
Sure. Yeah.
I did a really cool online package with him. So I've done that stuff in the past. And I, you know, I always have fun doing it. I think it's super fun.
Yeah.
People have asked me, because I used to be all about it. Like before I got really busy, I used to tell people, oh man, you know, if you want to do a lesson or something. And to this day, I'll have people respond to messages that were from 2017 on Instagram or whatever. And they'll be like, hey, Jared, you still doing lessons, bro? And I'm like, no, man. You know what I mean? Not anymore. But, you know, it's fun. I love doing that because I feel like when you do lessons, you still learn stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you brush on that. You're like, I forgot about that.
Yeah, sure. And if people want to find you, they go to jaredjamesnichols.com.
That's it, man. You can go to jarredjamesnichols.com. Any of the social media stuff, of course. It's all on there, whether it's Instagram, Facebook. And if you want to just look, even a lot of people say, where are you playing? If you go to bands in town, it's all obviously on jarredjamesnichols.com, but bands in town, they have a really easy way that they can like geotag where you are, and it'll show you literally how many miles I'm playing from your house, which can be a good thing or a really bad thing.
It's a good thing.
But it's all on there, man. Bands in town, Facebook, Instagram, jarredjamesnichols.com.
Right on. Very good. Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you, sir.
I'm going to see you in January.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. Right on.
Dude, have a great rest of the day, brother.
You as well.
All right, man.
It's always see great you. Seeing you.
You bye too, bye. Brother. Bye, buddy.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.